for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, we got a Loveline, right?
Yeah. Well, thanks to Anderson. He gave me the finger. We're on the air, and then he did the countdown after that. Not exactly what we were talking about last night. It's a new opening. Aisha Tyler is our guest.
Hello.
She was here November 2001, Drew.
That's a long time ago.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I would think more a year ago than a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
But many good things have happened for Aisha since she was here last. Currently on Friends, doing a guest role on Friends, a reoccurring guest role. Is that what it's called? Is it just a reoccurring role?
You know what they call it in the biz? Guest arc.
Guest arc.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Follows a story arc.
Blah, blah, blue, blue.
Is it four episodes?
It's four episodes this season, and maybe some in the fall. We won't know yet till the summertime.
Are we coming up on the third Friday?
This Thursday. Tomorrow.
Thursday?
Tomorrow night's the third episode, yeah.
I like Friends.
I do, too.
Take a little, as a guy, it's, you know, take a little bit of heat around the office, you know, for liking Friends. But
it's masculine to admit you like a show like Friends.
Is it?
Just to give everybody the high, you know, the high one and say, I watch Friends. And
I was arguing with this at the Jimmy Kimmel show today. One of the writers got himself a mint green Mini Cooper, not the supercharged one. And people are saying, well, this is the gayest car ever made. And I said, yes, gay like a fox.
It's so gay, it's
so gay. He's secure with his masculinity.
Yes,
a gay man could not drive this car. It's too gay.
He would look silly.
He would be embarrassed in front of all his friends, and they would laugh at him when he went into the club and stuff.
Yes, you would have to be ultra straight in order to drive this car. I mean, you just do the math. The guy with the big lift kit.
Or Bishop Don Juan. Bishop Don Juan can go with it.
Well, he'd probably have. Do some gold anodizing on something, put some like 30-inch rims on it.
Some fur on the dash.
Yeah, so I think me watching Friends makes me straighter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
I'll report back to those guys.
We'll watch Aisha tomorrow night on Friends. And it's going into...
And gay people can watch too.
I think
it won't
make
you straighter.
They got a solid gay following. I mean, it's no Will and Grace, but I think
I have some gay friends
like
who refuse to watch Will and Grace. It's just like a little
like
too
Will
much for them. I think it's funny, but I just think, you know, it's for like the 50th episode of like, you know, super fey guy. They're just like, oh, come on. Can we have one real conversation on this thing? Everything's mincing and prancing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sundays they don't mince and prance. They take Sundays off.
Right.
That's what I hear. Anyway.
The gays?
Yes, as a group. Sundays.
Really?
It's like the gay Sabbath. No mincing and prancing on Sundays.
Well, maybe.
Hopefully somebody I know will call in and verbally abuse me on the air now.
What do they do? Just bulb on Sunday? Plant bulbs?
They plant bulbs, yeah.
On Sundays? All right.
Or they sleep off the party like the straight guys.
The thing I'm amazed about, I like the gays. I like when they take over a city and what they do with it. It's
flag.
Just I got to figure out how to get them out after they're done remodeling.
After it's all beautiful and put together.
Yeah, you drive down Santa Monica Boulevard between La Brea, La Cienega, or something out there, right in the middle of Boys Town, and you realize if you've lived in this town your whole life, like I have. You're on year 17. They're still remodeling. And then somebody comments to you, are they ever going to finish this? And I say, no, this is their living room. They're constantly rearranging the furniture. But the point is the gay neighborhood, Boys Town, in this city, that stretch of Santa Monica is pristine.
It's beautiful.
There's palm trees.
But yeah.
There's no gum on the ground. Mm-hmm.
Topiary in the shape of, you know, animals and...
Yeah, there's... If you follow Santa Monica Boulevard... Okay, I'll give you a little... Well, okay. Go down to Santa Monica around Western. That's where the Mexicans are. And take a look at that place. Nothing but shoe warehouses, you know, 70 pairs of Huaraches for a nickel, and people just standing all over the place.
They got a lot of people on the street.
They got shopping carts modified
they're
with propane tanks
and enjoying themselves.
They're out. They're family people. They're family people.
Followed by the Jewish cemetery.
They're right.
It follows immediately upon the heels of that.
Keep following.
Well, really on the heels, like right next to
the shoe shop.
Keep going down Santa Monica. You'll know when you get into Boys Town because the place is carpeted. They've actually carpeted the street.
Every little parking meter has a chair next to it. In case you're tired, can't find your change, you can
rest.
It
is, I'll tell you,
it's lovely.
It shines like a new dime, that whole town.
It's
Everything's pristine.
It is beautiful.
And it's It's great. I would like to use gays how doctors are starting to use leeches now. You know, just put them on, use them until the patient is healed, and then let's flush them down the toilet.
Oh, God.
Right, Drew?
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I always say. That's my motto, huh?
That's what they got to do. They got to get all the gays together and go, you know what? We're expanding your domain. We're taking Santa Monica all the way down to Western. Come on, fellas.
Everything good about modern culture comes from gay people.
They blow in there like the white tornado. They refurbish the whole place, and then we kick them out.
No, everything good from the smoothies.
Sidebar. Normally, in the mic. Normally, you see, with Adam, you can't go with the not only that, but... I blame you for what he's
talking
about.
It's my fault.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
You brought the gaze up.
And then you went with him. And you kept going.
It was a mistake.
This will never stop.
Did I pick up a stick and poke the dog?
Here we go. He's getting suspicious.
The angry, I poked the dog in the eye.
There you go.
Let's get... Drew, that's our gig where we talk about...
The dog looks angry. Poke.
Smart enough to figure that out what it is.
All right, let's take some calls before Aisha gets herself in trouble. Bad gaze. Susie?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yeah.
What's up?
Got on birth control pills about 3 months ago, and every time my boyfriend and I have sex, like from a doggy style type position, he says it feels like something's poking him or something, and it's uncomfortable for me too.
He says something is poking him, like sharp?
Yeah.
Something sharp. Do you have an IUD in?
No. And no. I went to my gynecologist. And
tampon from 1984.
Nice.
Maybe he has a urethral infection, and when he hits up against your cervix, it hurts him because he's got sort of inflammation there.
Well, it's uncomfortable for me as well, and a lot of times we have bleeding afterwards.
Oh. Yeah, but he's hitting your cervix. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. The pill isn't going to make you grow. I mean, did you go and have a pelvic exam when you went to your doctor?
Yeah, and he said everything was fine, and he gave me, like, some lubricant, and I was like, that's not what's wrong with me.
You're taking some lubricant.
That's going to get you deeper.
A party animal.
You get the feeling, though, a kid comes in. With a limp, he gives him some lube. You know, every old woman comes in, says she has a growth. Here's some lube.
This is for your hip or whatever else.
This is fine. See, take the lube.
Start giving out lube at your office. The pill isn't going
to. No, this has nothing to do with the pill. The bleeding may be related to the pill, but that's it. And even the discomfort, that maybe the uterine lining may be slightly thickened from the pill, but. He's hitting your cervix. Why it hurts him especially makes me concerned that he might have a urethral infection. But other than that, I would not be concerned about this.
Yeah, but send your boyfriend to the doctor. Yeah,
yeah, he might have some.
I'm going to say yo tonight. That's hip.
I'm going to call you dog.
No, please don't. See, now I'm sad.
Now.
The yo thing is, if you say yo and then you say something, that's played out. But if you call somebody yo, that's only slightly dusty. But the dog, I want to kill that guy. Oh, jeez. He's talking like I did in the eighth grade. It's embarrassing. And he's like laying it on so thick. Hey, dog. Yo, dog.
See,
hey, dog.
Diggity,
dog.
That's
dog. Only how he talks. Nobody else talks like that.
He did this show a few weeks back, and there was actually a dog
here
in the studio. And he said, that's a nice dog. And I said, it must be nice for you to use the word dog toward a dog. Yeah, appropriately.
Towards a canine being.
Black people everywhere cry out in pain when that guy opens his mouth.
No.
Come on, dog.
It's like your dad. Hey, kids. Look at the goo.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm sure he's a lovely man.
I remember when my dad.
Maybe he'll call in tonight.
My dad.
Hey, yo, dog. Why are you trying to dog me out, dog?
It's the black man's dude.
It is the black man's. No, the black man's dude is homie.
No.
I'm going to get on the phone and call a couple people about. I'll get back to that in the middle of the show.
I could probably dig up some black people and get some answers.
The black man's dude.
Dude's got range.
Dude has range.
And dog does, too.
And inflection.
Dog.
April.
Dog.
All right, shut up. No, you're worse than he is. April?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
So a couple of days, nights ago, whatever, I was listening to your show, and some guy called in talking about, like, taking pills to make his penis bigger, and Dr. Drew said that they didn't work. So I was wondering if the same was true for, like, taking pills for, like, breast enhancement.
No.
Basically the same is true. Some women, when they
ironically, they make your penis bigger.
No, they don't.
Yes.
They make it smaller,
yes,
actually.
He's tried them.
But some women, when they take the estrogen-containing pills, may get breast enlargement. But that's kind of unusual, actually.
I don't want to get implants because, like, that would hurt.
Yeah,
they're bad for you. Don't get implants.
Because, like, there's, like, silicone poisoning and all that, like, side effects. Like,
all
stuff.
That. Plus, they're bunk. And girls will make fun of you.
Yeah. And what size are you now?
I'm 36B, and I'm...
You're plenty big!
I'm 19.
That's huge. 36C?
B.
Oh, B. Okay. Sorry. Never mind. I take it back.
You got to go into the knife tomorrow.
That that's plenty. You know what? Let me tell you something. Big girls with big boobs always want smaller boobs. Every girl I know has big boobs, wish they were smaller. And that's the way of the world. So go up to girls with big boobs and just, you know, do a dance and taunt them with your lovely tiny boobs and
bouncy, bouncy.
What is? But I don't understand what April thing is. And one minute she wants bigger boobs, the next minute she's fine the way
she
is.
She doesn't want to get an implant.
She desperately wants them without a knife.
I know, but now she's sort of defending them. April?
Bigger boobs?
No, like, I want bigger boobs. I'm just saying.
You want them.
What?
April, why do you want bigger boobs?
Because, like, I think it would make me feel, like, more confident in myself. Like, I'm confident with, like, everything else about myself except my boobs.
Let me tell you.
That boob
stuff. It's not bad, really.
Well, let me tell you all the reasons why small boobs are great. And then the guys can tell you all the reasons
well,
that
I mean,
small boobs are great.
But, yeah.
Small boobs are great because you can wear dresses without a bra. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And girls with big boobs cannot do that.
No.
Girls with big fake boobs look like circus clowns.
Yeah.
And let me tell you somebody who's, a lot of like famous, beautiful girls are 36Bs. Jennifer Lopez, Jennifer Aniston, lots of really beautiful women.
Jennifer Garner.
Beautiful bodies. And they have like nice size boobs. The B cup is big and great, and you should be happy with yourself. Yeah. Every girl that I know that has implants, and I have some friends with implants, it's just, you know, they look like they got punched in the eye and they're looking two ways. It's just not good. It's not good. They're not good.
Big boobs.
And
hey, April.
Yeah?
All right, Aisha makes 15 valid points, and maybe 27 of them were a little on the, you know. No, I agree. We said this all the time. Who is it that wants the big boobs? I like big boobs. Yes, that is me. But if you take a look at every sex symbol, let's say you take the top 50 major sex symbols of this country from Marilyn Monroe on in the last 35, 40 years, five of them had big cans. Mm-hmm. The other 45 were average to modest mm-hmm. in the breast department. I mean, you know, some of these people would, you know, wear a push-up bra and stuff like that. But most of these people were not big, chesty women. Let's face it. Sad as that is. So I don't understand what the motivation is. Plus, most all the guys I know basically go face, ass, legs, and boobs sort of second. And the boobs, if they're too big, guys have a problem with that. Most guys just like someone who sort of looks nice in a sundress.
And there's kind of the attention that you get from guys when you have big, fake boobs. It's not the kind of attention you want. It's not, oh, she's pretty. I'd like to hang over. It's like, oh, my God. You know, who wants that kind of attention
yeah.
from a dude? That's not you that they're looking at all.
Well, they don't
you know,
want,
they hit they their
don't...
friends on the arm and go, dude, look at her. And they're not looking at you.
They go, dog. They don't, and you don't want that guy.
I usually
unless
don't
he's
want
me.
That guy.
Unless
this
he's
the
me.
Best impression of those guys I've ever seen. Oh, my God.
I have a friend, and every time he sees a girl like that, he just like goes cry, you know. But it's not about the girl, you know. They're just it's.
Also,
and then you'll be old, you know, with big crazy boobs, and the other old people.
I think there's
at
a little
you.
Bit of a backlash against the
anthropologists will do when they dig you up thousands mm-hmm. of years later.
Right? Like, what happened to this girl?
It must have been ritual. They laid plastic bags on her chest at the time of
to
birth
to get her into the afterlife. She would give it to the dog of hell as she crossed over the river Styx.
Dude, dog of hell. What? Oh, here's what I'm saying. I think there's a little bit of a societal backlash against
yes.
the fake
yes.
boobs
I heard,
now, too.
I saw Jenna Jameson on like a Access Hollywood talking about how she's concerned now.
The porn star.
Yeah.
About her big
too
boobs.
Big, too big now.
Too big.
It's not in anymore.
You know who is just the biggest kind of train wreck is Pamela Anderson, and she looks like a guy who's been lifting weights. She has like a chest like a... They're so big and crazy. She looks like a dude.
She looks like a dog, dude. Drew calls her a female impersonator, which is really the only smart thing I've heard him say
yes.
in 8 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She has a little bit of, what's that guy with the butter? Remember that guy? He's like, what's that guy? And I don't, can't believe it's not butter. She has that guy's body. Fabio. She has kind of a Fabio's, her rack is very Fabio-like.
The butter.
My yeah. brain works slowly this way.
It's not
night.
Butter. Eric?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah. First of all, I want to say, as a psychology major, I think y'all guys are cool. You know, I love listening to y'all.
Thank you.
When I was born, I don't think they circumcised me correctly. I don't think they took all of it off.
He said circumcised.
Don't.
That's my new favorite word.
This man is pouring out his heart.
All right, go ahead.
What'd they do wrong? What's the problem?
I don't think they took all of it off. Like, I still have some left. Like, when I'm not erect, it looks like it's uncut.
Okay. So, but it doesn't go all the way over the head of your penis, though, right?
Sometimes
it does.
Yeah.
All right. So they were a little bit chintzy.
Yeah.
A little bit, didn't take it short enough, but that's all right.
They left a little for alterations.
Yeah, it doesn't, give me, it doesn't give any hook or curve or anything.
Well, they thought you'd grow into it, actually. Turns out.
Nothing.
You got to cuff the pants up now.
No problem getting the head out of the skin or anything like that?
No, not really.
All right, you're fine.
That's all good. That's
nothing
all right.
Wrong.
Okay.
All right.
You shouldn't worry about it. Just, you know, keep it clean.
That's right, dog.
Thanks.
All right.
All right, Eric, take care now.
Yeah, good times. Let's talk to...
I'm trying to figure out what happens when someone gets circus-sized.
Circus-sized? They get
really
up with a clown nose and big feet?
I really do like that, that term. Kimmy?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a boyfriend who has a lot of fantasies that make me really uncomfortable.
What's that? Mm-hmm. What would those be?
Well, his number one is he likes to pretend that I'm Kelly Osbourne.
Mm-hmm. That would make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
How does he do that?
He likes to have a lot of pictures of her on his computer, and he talks about making celebrity fakes with me a lot, and it makes me uncomfortable because a lot of people say I look like her.
Hold on.
I don't want to be her.
What was that squeal in the background?
That's my daughter.
You have a daughter?
Yes.
How old is she?
She'll be 11 months old this month.
With him?
I don't know.
You don't know if it's with him or not?
No, I just got out of the military, and I took a little while then.
You don't know who the father is of your daughter?
No, I don't.
Can you narrow it down to, let's say, the platoon or something?
Yeah, I'm just curious why being in the military made it difficult for you to figure out who the father was.
You know, Drew.
Get
wearing all that
scumbag.
Olive drab. Can't be decided. Can't figure
were
out.
You, were you partying like... and stuff? Was that while you were in the military? Were you partying with other guys in the military?
Yeah, I guess, kind of. I didn't know any better at the time, and so I was just having fun.
Hmm. See how nicely I put it? I was like,
yeah,
are you partying?
Partying.
That's what they call it now.
Does this guy think he's the father of your child?
He thinks he is, but his mom doesn't think that he is.
Oh, boy.
That's nice. Does his mom tell him that?
Yes.
How long have you been with him?
Almost 2 years.
Does the kid look at all like him?
No, she's my spitting image.
Uh-oh.
And it was while you were dating your boyfriend that you carried
on. Let's hope she got a different brain. Go ahead, Kimmy.
About what?
Okay, so let's just backtrack here. Yeah, okay. You don't... he likes you to pretend you're Kelly Osbourne.
Right.
Which in and of itself is sort of whatever. Okay.
It's... how much do you weigh now, Kimmy?
What does that have to do with it?
I'm curious because
like it's.
Oh, because see, here's what it is: Kelly Osbourne is not what you think of as a beautiful sex symbol. Nothing wrong with her, but let's face it.
Not a traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's ironic when a guy fantasizes that his woman is a little heavier and a little less attractive than maybe she really is, unless.
But I don't think it's that.
The other
I just
way.
Think this guy's got some kind of fame obsession, and he wants to have sex with a famous person.
Yeah. I know. I just think it's ironic. Kimmy?
Yes?
What are you coming in at weight-wise?
170.
Really? All right. You give Kelly a run for a month.
All right. What's your question for tonight? I'm not clear what you're looking for here.
You want him to stop having those fantasies about you?
Either that or I don't feel comfortable breaking up with him, and I'm not sure if I should break up with him over something like that.
Here's my question. You think you could be with this guy 10 years from now and have him still wanting to have sex with you and imagine that you're somebody else?
No.
Kimmy's a trauma survivor.
What happened, Kimmy?
Kimmy, what happened to you growing up?
Pardon me?
Sexual abuse growing up?
No, not sexual. A lot of emotional, though.
Yeah. Some physical abuse, too?
Well, I got, spanked a lot, but nothing, extreme.
Yeah.
Did you get thrown out? Why are you out of the Army? You got pregnant?
I got separated for flipping someone off.
You got thrown out for flipping someone the bird?
Yes, it was in the Air Force, and they're bigger on being polite.
Okay. Okay,
that
Kimmy.
Was the first behavioral problem. Yeah, of course.
You're out of control. Listen, yeah. Kimmy.
Yes?
All right. I'm a genius, and you were drummed out of the Air Force, so listen to me, right?
Yes.
No more kids. Do you hear me?
That would be the first thing.
No more.
I'm being very careful now.
Very right, careful. And that doesn't mean pulling out. That means no more for a long time. I want this kid you have now.
Yes.
I want to have a younger brother or sister. When this kid's like 45, I want his younger brother to be 4. You understand?
Well,
I don't want any.
Possible,
yes,
okay.
We're going to do it. I'll do it myself in 40 years. No more kids. Also, as far as this guy, tell him what you want. Tell him you think it's disrespectful. Tell him you don't like it. If he can't abide by that, then he can move on.
I mean, everybody has fantasies about people head, but for him to be forcing you into something you don't want to do,
it's a very, very light fantasy, and I don't get the sense there's even a relationship here. His thing is, hey, he troubles me a little bit. I got to get rid of this one. No, that's not a relationship.
Well, yeah. I mean, what is he doing? She's
really very troubled.
Troubled because she's kind of empty.
Yeah, and I think she ought to stick with the relationship, frankly, because unless he's mistreating her, she's going to go out and get somebody that does mistreat her.
It's nice his mom doesn't think he's the dad,
that's
though.
It's quaint, isn't it? Quaint.
Which means, you know, his mom is no great fan of Kimmy's. No.
Exactly. But be that as it may, Kimmy would go out and find an abusive guy. This guy's not exciting enough for her is really the problem. See?
Mm-hmm.
So just stay with this
guy. Of the old adage, just dump him.
I'm all for that too.
From a medical line, I'm like, if he's giving you a problem, just toss
him all for. I'm all for.
We're all for that too. But then they got this kid.
He's got the kid, and she's gonna get worse stuff out there. So whatever.
Oh,
that's the problem.
Let's take a break.
All right, stop having kids.
Oh, what are you gonna do with this kid? This kid, if you took this kid, put him in a trash can, and just fired him in the direction of Saturn, would have a better life.
Oh God.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Oh yes. We'll take a. What, Drew?
Aisha was a political science major in college. Maybe she can explain to us why the politicians won't pay any attention to these issues.
I think it makes them uncomfortable, and I don't understand it either. It makes them uncomfortable. The basic problem is that there's a whole group of people who are arguing kind of against family planning, but then also don't want to have anything to do with people after they've just cranked out babies recklessly. And sometimes in my head I have this feeling, and I know this is going to be probably unpopular, that there should just be more attention paid to regulating marriage and children beforehand rather than afterwards.
We say that every night.
Everyone talks about people getting divorced too much. People are getting married too much, and they're having kids too much.
Well, they're having kids before they get married.
And then there's just this crazy aftermath where people are just dragging around babies like they're puppies.
Yeah.
You know, and these are people. It's, you know, I mean, I've been married now, you know, for, God, 8 years, and, you know, and we don't have kids, and people go, why not? I'm like, because that's not why I got married, man. You know,
dog.
I have stuff, dog. You know,
right.
Why are you trying to dog me out, dog?
That's right.
I mean,
dog.
That's like a really, people just kind of think, oh, then I'll have a baby. You know, it'll be cute and wiggle around. And then it's going to be 6 and take a dump in the carpet. And then it'll be 12 and knock up the neighbor's kid. And then it'll be 20. And
sidebar.
You can shoot me the back of the head.
I usually think about babies. They're like larvae or something.
I like kids. I like other people's kids.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. You know,
I like responsibly had kids when you're 45.
They're not really talking about pimps and dogs. All right. I don't know what the hell that was. Anderson, please, with your goddamn
drops.
Did
I rant?
Please.
I ranted.
That was wonderful.
Oh,
no, it's good rant. Good rant. Aisha Tyler's here. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Aisha Tyler is our guest tonight. She is on Friends, and she's doing a guest arc on Friends, which is, Thursday nights at 8 o'clock.
NBC.
We were having a little talk before we left about what to do with all the screwed-up kids and the screwed-up parents and screwed-up this and that. Aisha tapped into something that was sort of interesting, which is, kids are sort of romanticized a little bit that's going to make things better. And
families are romanticized. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Families. And it ends up making things worse a lot of the time, especially when there's no money and people are overburdened and all that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. I thought about something, which is, you know, you get this kids are our future kind of thing pounded into our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true, but it's true in a bad way, too.
Well,
I mean, you crank out too many neglected latchkey kids, and we've got a future full of felons.
Seriously.
You've got carjackers, you got overcrowded prisons, you got drug abuse, you got everything else. So, yes, they are a future. They can go bad. They can be bad. The future doesn't have to be great, by the way.
Well, that whole
future
thing is like, you know, like, the kids who go to, you know, who get a degree are our future. It's always like this idealized thing, like, you know, and it's always like the beaming kind of well-scrubbed kid is our future.
I know.
The kid who has, like, shoe boxes for,
it's just kids,
you know,
yes,
for shoes.
Obviously, anyone who's younger is our future. Let's do the goddamn math, you retard.
Like a statement of the obvious.
Right. And those people who are younger don't necessarily have to be educated, tax-paying, law-abiding people. They could be strung-out junkies, and then that'll be our future. Just keep that in mind next time you start throwing around that kids are our future.
It's
BS.
It's so cheery in here.
But isn't the idea is to not let that happen? That's why you remind people that it is, after all, our future.
Yeah. You know, how about saying, like, you are our future?
Hold
like,
on
kids
a
keep
second.
Having kids. I want to tell
True.
The kids
yeah, the
that
point
are around.
Is don't undermining my point.
A little bit. The point is, don't screw up on these kids, because they are our future. And if you care about what the future is, you don't want them all to be strung out junkies. You better pay attention.
Well, work
now.
On the ones that are here. Don't make any more.
I agree, but I think the message that people hear is that
they're all good.
This is good. It's good. This is our future. And we need to have more of these so that we can have a future.
Mm-hmm.
True. Nicole, yeah. Dog.
I'd like a hug now.
Great. Nicole?
Hello?
You're 22.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me? I'm kind of in a bad area.
Okay.
We got you.
What's
up? You're in the ghetto? What?
No, I don't know. It's just I only have one notch on my phone, so
one notch.
I'm driving. Like, we're on the
power sign, you know?
Oh, okay.
All right, Nicole, make it sound.
All right, well, let's get rid of her.
Well, you can pull up.
Oh.
Yeah, screw her. Bonnie?
Oh, too bad.
Hello?
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
Actually, I have two questions.
All right.
The first question is about circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
My son and my husband are both uncircumcised.
Mm-hmm. Uncircumcised.
Right. Well, my husband's British, and they don't...
They're unclean.
...isn't like a normal practice in England.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we decided against circumcising my son.
All right.
And I was just wondering, because... my son, he's 16 months, and the skin, like, you can't pull the skin back over the head.
Uh-oh.
Is
really?
No, well, that's one of the complications of the...
I didn't know you had a head when you were 16 months. That's your penis just kind of came to a point like a tail on a short-haired dog.
Oh, God.
Doesn't it? You got a head, Drew?
Oh, God.
You need a head for 16 months. You don't need a head.
It develops later, yes.
I didn't need a head dog. It's like... 27, 28.
And even then.
Even then, I barely used it. It was still nice. No, I wouldn't even take it with me when I left the house.
Would have been nice if it had neck and shoulders. And, yeah, but anyway.
Now I keep an extra one in the glove box. I'm that kind of guy.
But it's probably nothing. I wouldn't be in a hurry to get a circumcision at this age, because now it does hurt.
My husband, like, when he's erect, he's not circumcised, but
right.
When he's erect, it looks just like a normal circumcised.
Well, most circumcised, uncircumcised, you need to pull something down. It doesn't pop out automatically, necessarily.
So
your son has a bunch of foreskin. That's fine. That's normal.
But I don't want it. I mean, I've never seen, like, a penis with lots of foreskin before.
Yeah.
And I don't want him to be made fun of when he's older.
Well, let me say this, too. Don't kids,
you know, it's like...
Shut up. Don't kids grow into their foreskin sort of? Seems like uncircumcised babies seem to look like elephant trunks.
Yes,
you know?
It should get a little better as he goes
He'll
up.
He'll grow into it.
But
I will tell you that my minuscule experience with a guy that I knew in college who he called himself a flap. He said he did get teased quite a bit. I mean, he was proud of it at that point, but he did. I mean, he's going to get teased. It's different. You know, kids tease.
There'll be less, though, also. By the time he gets to high school,
yes.
It might be 50% or
right.
What have you.
That's
right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, will he grow into it? Where
yes.
Bonnie, or what's his name, Bonnie?
Yeah.
Bonnie, if you were so anxious about this, you should have done this right then.
Well,
okay.
Shut up.
B, it's too late now. It would be traumatizing.
Well, don't freak her out.
Don't do it now. See, there's going to be lots of uncircumcised kids by the time this kid is in high school. It's a very common thing now.
Is it?
And he'll grow into it somewhat, so he's probably not going to be overly teased about this.
You take a look at any young child who's uncircumcised, as I do on the internet every
That's
night.
That's lovely.
And you'll find
a
that
charmer,
there's
a
looks like a lot
guy.
Of extra
I'm just thinking about
prepubes
something.
There. Yes.
Maybe there's sort of a diabolical quality to this, because if you're talking to Monty's worried about her male, you know, her son getting teased in high school. He's going to get teased in high school just by virtue of being a male and being in high school.
Oh,
so maybe
kids just tease.
Oh,
that's not the only reason.
The males go after each other.
Yeah.
But maybe if you've got something to focus on, you like prepare him. This is what they're going to tease you about.
Right.
I guess
he could write some material.
It's the lightning rod for his teasing. What to worry about anything else?
Yeah. he could just get some comebacks written ahead of time, then he'll be prepared when he goes to school. You know,
see?
Some jokes, some
here's,
bits about it.
Here's the other thing too. I went to. High school. I went to public high school. I played football and baseball. I didn't walk around nude.
Well, you took showers in a room with a bunch of people, right?
Not really. Yeah, I mean,
not for the football. You guys didn't try.
Wait a minute.
Well, if you're taking the bus home, you take a shower, get dressed, you know, go back. But I lived close to school, so guys didn't do that much showering.
What?
No, because
football.
Yeah, because they weren't going anywhere but home afterward. You know what I mean? They didn't have to get gussied up. They weren't going out to the malt shop with Betty Lou. You know
my
what I mean? They just
played football. He said that those guys.
I played football, and everybody.
You played football. You played 8.5-man football at the Little Lord Fauntleroy School for albino hemophiliacs.
Aisha's husband went to Dartmouth.
That was elaborate.
He must have gone to one of those schools also. So.
I am saying, you do not have to. You do not have to take showers with groups of guys as much as you think you do. It's like moms think, oh, when he gets to high school, he'll be constantly made fun of. It's not like moms think it's a half of high school showering in a big group like you're. Yeah.
And then there's a guy peeking through the wall, you know, from the other side.
Yeah, they're picturing it's like a concentration camp or something, and everyone's just in there together. No, it doesn't happen that much.
But he'll get teased in high school.
Yeah,
no matter what.
Teased.
Oh, yeah.
No matter.
Oh, my God. High school is merciless for me.
That's right. Tom?
Hey, what's up, guys?
You're 20?
Yes, that's right. I just want to say, hey, Dr. Drew and Adam, you guys are great. Good show.
Great, Tom. Thanks.
I just had a comment for the girl that was on earlier that was concerned about her cup size, about her breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Every girl I've dated, three girls in my life, might not be much, but every girl I've dated hasn't had a cup larger than a C. And I stick with the whole saying that anything more than a handful is waste.
Thanks, Tom.
Charming.
Thanks for calling the show.
That's charming.
How'd Tom get on the air?
I was just...
Hey, which one of you screened Tom's call? Ryan, what are you, high? Who cares?
He was trying to make her feel better about it.
I dated three women in my life, and they averaged a B+. And my motto is, then give us motto that we've heard a thousand times.
He clearly got that off the bathroom wall at the Hooters, and you know, good for him for memorizing it.
Brian, you felt necessary to put a guy on a date with three chicks who wants to tell us it's okay that boobs aren't too big? Please. Start doing your job over there.
I really would love for another woman to call in. And I want to understand what the deal is with chicks who want bigger boobs. I really need
power.
I don't understand it.
It's insecurity.
I think it's... I don't have any statistics. I'd love to talk to our surgeon, Dr. Marcel, who does plastic surgery, and find out. I bet it's on the down slide.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Well, from what I understand, yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good times.
I don't know the procedures around that because there's already a pool of women who kind of wanted it and waiting to get it.
So, like, just the popularity.
But the cultural trend is definitely.
Seemed to have hit its zenith about 3 years ago mm-hmm. or so, and now.
Headed towards its nadir.
It's a strike, yeah. Dog.
Listen, Nicole's in the bathroom?
I hope she's in the bathroom, otherwise, she's got a toilet in her kitchen.
Well, hello.
What are you doing in there?
Nothing. I was just. I don't know, you guys are going to think I'm weird. I just got home, and I was just checking the water in the toilet because they're doing construction across the street, and I think they broke a pipe because all my water is brown.
Well, that water's brown because you just floated a Duke log in that.
No.
Yes.
Keeps getting better and better.
Let me tell you what I want. Hold on a second.
Oh, what do you want?
I want to tell Aisha this.
Tell me.
We haven't talked about this in a long time, but my timer toilet... Here's what happened. I like to talk on the phone on the pot all the time. All the time.
Okay.
Inevitably, everyone does it. And this is what the cordless phone has done to us all now. We're going about our business.
Instrument.
Yeah, we're at our
Absolutely.
House and we're walking around. And inevitably,
you don't fear the blowback, the sounds of activity?
I do a little bit once in a while. You know,
turn on the faucet a little bit to
cover. Turn the faucet, clear. Bloop, 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 bloop. Now, here's what ends up. Now what happens, I've made it through the entire phone call, taking a nice number two there. No one's the wiser. And I look down the toilet, it's a disaster, and I think, what am I going to do?
Did you miss?
I'm
What's
on the phone.
On?
Well, you know, I'm a big man. The thing is what? How do I flush now? How do I flush? Now, there's a couple
discreetly.
Moves. Couple moves I try. I've tried the foot.
As you run out the door.
As I lean out the door, I take my foot, I lean it in, I flush it, and start running like a retard.
That sounds so precarious.
Like I'm breaking out of my own bathroom. There's a prison break
in
my bathroom.
A foot straining opportunity right there.
Then there's this one. There's that one. Then there's the flush. It's hard to work. And then here's what inevitably happens. I think to myself, Soon as I hang, number one thing I do when I get off the phone, I go back and flush that toilet. I'll let it hang for a while. Mm-hmm. Talk for another 15 minutes.
No. Away, yeah.
Hang up
pizza.
The phone, and now it's time to head upstairs for a nap. The wife comes home an hour later, wants to know what the hell's going on. Is this kind of some kind of message you're trying to send me? Who ate corn? It's always a disaster.
The housekeeper found it. Oh my God.
Housekeeper's found it.
Right, and then she's crying.
And it's like,
yo no limpio,
Santa Maria! What kind of lazy pig it flushes some goddamn Duke down the toilet?
I deal with your hamper every day.
So, El excusado es terrible.
What is wrong with just all? And listen, I don't need 5 minutes. I need literally a three count. 1,000, 2,000, 1,000, 3,000. I'm down the hall by then. I just want a timer. I want a delay.
Oh.
I want a toilet flush delay.
Mm.
I want me to walk out of there.
You're talking more
what
about
you should install.
Aisha, I tell you how difficult kids are too. They leave some presents frequently. It's just
Get the thing.
The laser eye.
And the laser eye always takes a few minutes. It takes a couple seconds. You leap up and run, and then it goes.
Will flush all of a sudden spontaneously.
Yeah, you know, yeah. In the middle of your conversation, you'll be on the can.
Ron, ABC.
Yeah.
I'd love to do a show on your network.
I need the delay. I need the timer, that's all.
Well, that guy that comes on late night offering patents, we'll get him right on that.
Aisha Tyler's our guest tonight. She is going to be on Friends tomorrow night, NBC, 8 o'clock. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
I love
Aisha Tyler's our guest tonight.
Hello.
Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Yes.
This is so unimportant. Don't you think that the guy, that lead singer in Queens of the Stone Age, looks just like Craig Kilborn?
Yes, I do.
He's like his doppelganger.
I have often thought that, and especially...
His uber doppelganger.
He is Craig.
He's his uber doppelganger dog.
Dog.
He, especially since he was a little bit heavier, not... Kilborn, but the Queens of Stone
Age. And he lost a little bit of weight,
and he really slid into Kilborn. Then they did Kilborn, and it was like Kilborn leading the band.
Did they make a joke about it? Because I swear to God, I can't get over it.
I don't know.
It's unimportant. I did Jimmy's show, and and they were on there, and I just was literally like just giving them the hairy eyeball the whole time. You know, it's just so unimportant. But that was my evening. Was just all about how that guy.
Who was the
Craig.
Were you the co-host? Or
no, I was the guest, and Jamie Kennedy was the co-host, and then Captain Kirk was on there, and I'm sure he appreciates that I called him that. And it was fun. It was a good time. I like that show. It's a good time.
Yeah,
it's a fun time.
Kind of loose.
Yeah, it's all
it's
crazy.
Live, you know.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Moves along in real time.
Then there's like a big old concert after. I mean, the Queens of the Stone Age. They play 2 songs for you people. They played like 8 songs for us. We sat on stage and they did like a full concert.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's nice. They set up the big stage out back of Jimmy Kimmel Live. There, the bands play, and they do it at the end of the show, so there's enough time for you to hear a song and a half. If you're at home watching, but if you're out there sitting on a love seat in between Shatner and Kimmel, and you're rocking
and
out to the Queens of the Stone Age, yeah,
crazy
to play 7-8 songs.
Music.
Nicole?
Yeah?
So, let's see, you're 22.
Mm-hmm.
And you have sex dreams during your naps?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I know that sounds really weird, and you probably never even heard of that before, but...
No, Adam, you've never had sex dreams during a nap.
Never
Adam's having a sex dream right now.
No,
well, why would that be weird?
During the day, it's just when I nap during the day.
That is just the kind of sleep you're having during the day. You're having a certain kind of quality of sleep, in which is a lot of dreaming, and it's normal for somebody your age to have sex dreams.
But every time, it's like seriously, if I come home from school or just to take a nap during, and it's always during the day. It's never at night. I just
How many hours of sleep do you get?
Well, what do you want us to say?
Well, I don't know.
Cut
I mean,
your head
is,
off,
have
it's
you ever
possessed.
Heard of that before? Is that
yes?
Weird?
Normal.
Totally.
How many hours a night of sleep are you getting?
Probably about 6 or 7.
Do you want more? Are you cutting it short for some reason?
Do I want? I would love more sleep.
Yeah, are you dreaming at night?
I'm sorry.
Are you dreaming at night?
Yeah.
You still dream at night also?
Okay. And what do you dream about at night? Like puppies and ice cream?
I just dream normal, but...
I would bet that if you slept later into the morning, you'd start having the sex dreams then, too.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cut off the sex dreams you got on. Hey, Nicole. Yeah, it's fine. Also, once you sort of announce in your own feeble mind that you need to, you're going to have these dreams every time you take a nap, then you will have these dreams every time you take a nap.
It's a behavior.
You know what I'm saying?
But as long as you're not sleepwalking into the neighbor's house, you'll be fine.
No, seriously, no. When I had a boyfriend and it happened, I was too, like, I was almost awake and subconsciously, like, I knew I was, I don't know, it was weird. Like, I knew I wanted to wake up and do something about it, but I was just too tired. I couldn't even open.
Oh, all right.
Adam finds your problems
she's
to be minuscule.
She's having a sex dream. There's no nothing.
But how dare she?
We can confidently say she's not crazy.
Yeah, she's fine.
She's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of guys are trying to figure out where she lives right now, but she's not crazy.
Let's talk to Tanya, who's 27. Tanya?
Yes?
What's up?
I'm calling to respond to the gal who thought that her breasts were too small.
All right,
she's
sister.
She's 36B.
Mm-hmm.
I am a 36B, and there is nothing wrong with that size.
That's great.
Amen, sister.
I feel that if they were any bigger, I would be having back problems.
Speculating on your own spine.
You could probably have a C cup and get along just fine, but anything bigger
I'd like to see with the C cup, Tanya. Yeah. All right. So you're fine
back
with your
problems
B's.
Don't come until the D's and the E's. You're all set. You're just...
Well, when I was pregnant, I went to a 40 double D.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got quite large, but... I went back to what I was prior to being pregnant, and there's nothing wrong with that size at all.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Tony.
All right.
That woman is psychologically sound.
Yeah.
I don't have any medical training, but I'd like to pronounce everybody crazy or sane for the evening.
Fair enough.
If I can do that for you.
Good time.
Well,
she's
the only part that makes her story a little bit suspect is that she's calling us and telling us that she's fine with her 36Bs. That's the only part I question.
Yeah, why she had to do
everybody,
that.
I'm sure most people with 36Bs are quite content. It's just the ones that call the radio shows are.
You know what I mean? What compelled her? It's like, I've got to defend myself. Weren't we on stage at the Wiltern or something talking about breast cancer?
Yeah, we were doing a breast cancer benefit, and I think we led a little kind of save the boobs chant.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all about saving the boobs.
Yeah, we were looking out for your
For your interests.
Oh, this was
for your back.
A few months back.
A couple of Christmas years ago.
It was just post 9/11. That's what I remember.
Was it?
Because I remember you going, U.S.
Sometimes I can't be held responsible for the things that I say.
They just
come out.
It was after Aisha was on a year and a half ago.
It was before. That's why I ended up on the show.
Yeah, that's why.
Well, good times. Nice recruiting, Drew.
Isn't that beautiful?
Thank you.
Drew, he's always got his eye open for new fresh meat.
Jessica?
Yeah?
You're 13?
Yeah, I was calling to respond to the person who was talking about her boobs being too small.
Yeah.
Yeah, big boobs aren't good.
What do you got going?
Well, I'm 13, and I have a 32D.
Damn, bitch!
That's lovely.
32D at 13.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
That is hard. Do you guys give you a lot of trouble at school?
Yeah, exactly, because I look so much older than them, too.
Mm.
And so I just get harassed like crazy.
Mm-hmm. What grades that put you in? Seventh? Eighth?
Yeah,
Seventh.
First, always a grade up.
You know, this is probably not like the advice that Drew would give. I'd love to hear what he would say, but I kind of matured pretty early when I was a girl, and I had boobs. I had boobs in the fourth grade.
Yeah, dog.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Dairy Farmers of America. And and I got to tell you, I don't think this is like the psychologically sound way of doing it, but I just wore really baggy clothes. And I did that until I was old enough that everybody else had boobs and no one paid attention to me anymore. But it was really hard to be. I was also really tall and I had boobs before all the other girls. And I don't know that that's like the only way to manage the issue, but it helped me a lot.
It's interesting. It's not anything wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to say, well, be confident and be proud of yourself. But
so
that's unrealistic
that age,
for a 13-year-old. It's impossible. And so to say,
and kids are so, like, kids in 7th and 8th grade are just
brutal.
Mean.
Brutal.
Yeah. How tall are you, Jessica?
I'm 5'9".
5'9"?
Wow.
You're going to be such a beautiful, beautiful grown-up woman.
How much you weigh?
I weigh 100 and about 27 pounds.
Wow. 5'9", 32 being 13.
She's 13.
I'd like to just keep an eye on her for a few years.
Right.
That's all. I'm not saying I'm doing anything.
Back over to the legal side of the conversation.
You'll be doing something.
Let's raise her. I'll raise her like she's my own until she gets 13 and then 18. Sorry.
Over here on the unstatutory side of the
table.
That'll
be like I never saw her before. Okay, so... there's nothing you can do about this at this point. You hold your head and your boobs up high. And you're fine. And look, here's the thing. People oftentimes make fun of things that they're jealous of.
And just anything different.
That's true. Anything different.
Yeah. I mean,
I know, but hold on a second. Drew, don't cramp on my point. I'm trying to tell her that...
I know that people are jealous, so...
Yeah, because you can have a huge boil on your forehead and people will make fun of that because it's different. I'm trying to tell her that people are oftentimes jealous and that's why they do it.
I think you don't have to go pout about it.
But boys, like if a boy in the seventh grade is not making fun of a girl's boobs because he's jealous.
Because he doesn't know what to do with himself.
Yeah. No, exactly. The guy is making fun of him because he wants to get his hands on him, and the girls are making fun of them because they're jealous. Either way.
They're more jealous, they're threatened, I think. Right?
All right. I just leave it at jealous. I don't think they're... Well, yeah, I mean...
How sexual are kids in the seventh grade now? I mean, are they...
They're doing the oral sex.
There's one performing oral on me right now.
Excellent.
Right now.
That's what's kicking me in the leg.
All right. Wait a second. Wait a second.
Take a break.
Don't think anymore.
Don't think anymore?
We're going to take a break. Aisha Tyler's in studio tonight. Going to be on Friends tomorrow night. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Loveline of Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Aisha Tyler's our guest tonight.
Hello.
She's the tall, beautiful C cup that you knew once from Talk Soup, and now you know her from Friends, and going to be doing some features, stuff like that.
I just did a movie with DMX and David Arquette called Never Die Alone. And
tell the David Arquette story. We haven't told that in a while.
Tell the David Arquette story.
Well, it's kind of interesting in the sense that, and it's one of these, and Drew will stop me if I embellish this at all.
No.
We were just sitting here one night, it was probably about 3 years ago, we had a guest in here, I can't remember who it was, show just started.
Yeah.
And we were just a couple minutes into the show and somehow got into crazy people and crazy actors. And I was saying, I'm amazed at some of these actors who really just seem nuts, and by all accounts sort of are when you talk to people who've worked with them and stuff, can show up, memorize dialogue, and play the part of a small sheriff in some mining town in 1855 when they appear to be completely insane
in real life.
And I think I used David Arquette as an example. I said, David Arquette, you know, we've had him on the show a few times. He's a very sweet guy.
Really sweet.
Always seems kind of sketchy and a little nutty and distracted.
No, I used stronger language than that.
What I used in nutty.
Certifiable, I think, was the...
Probably used some strong. A little hyperbole, you know. That's how the show works.
Conversation.
Right. And I said the guy was nuts. I said he was nice. I said we liked him. But I said he was definitely nuts.
Yeah. And we went to great length to talk about how we love him, as crazy as he is. And... Several times said that, yeah.
Said he was nuts. Yeah. And now we're about 4 or 5 minutes into the show, and I think the guest we're talking to said, aren't you worried he's going to, you know, come in here and get you kind of thing? And I said, no, he's nuts. He couldn't find the studio. And about 30 seconds later, he comes bursting through
this
door.
That's excellent. I love that so much. Just materialized
just
outside.
Pow,
just boom.
Screaming at
with
it.
Some smoke and ribbons and glitter falling from the sky.
Yeah, he comes bursting through the door. He's like, I'm nuts, huh? Can't find the studio. So
that's awesome.
Now, his story was, and he was driving home on the
Laker game, he said.
10 freeway from a Laker game, which is just half the 10 freeway. It's about half a mile from here, and he was just passing by the exit when he heard the nuts. Pulled right off the freeway and drove right in here.
Oh, that just kicks ass. That's so good.
Yeah.
Well,
Hold on, we got to find a bigger star to say he's nuts. Get him in here.
I know,
Al Pacino.
Because he'll never show up. He lives in
nuts.
New York. No way. He takes his Learjet over. You're calling me nuts. You know, I mean, I won't comment. David, to me, seemed perfectly sane. But I have a lot of actor friends who, you know, I think are moderately crazy. And I just think it's a business in which a lot of people live in, you know, artistic fantasy land all the time. And that's when they're most happy. And so when they have to, like, take out the trash or do their laundry, you know, it's very difficult to function.
Yeah.
And then also, this whole business is all about, like, managing actors. You know what I mean? Like, I find it a little annoying that, like, people treat you like a baby. But if you are a little nuts and you like being treated like a baby, you can just completely retreat into baby land and have your butt wiped for you 24 hours
right.
a day. And it's normal.
What time do you show up for the show? Well, the show starts there. It's filming at 5, so you'll be there at 1?
Yeah. Well, you
exactly. And then people call you every 5 minutes. Like, little, I have a car pick me up an hour before I have to be somewhere.
Are you okay?
And if I'm
you're
not in the car 5 minutes later, well, where are you? They're wondering. And then you'll get there, and the thing will still be like 35, 40 minutes out.
Or like, 2 hours.
Yeah. Like, why? What? Who? You know? And you have to remind people, like, I'm an adult. You know, I drive my own car when you're not picking me up. You know, I don't use a dribble cup when I eat dinner.
No, I know, because they think of everybody is on sort of Wu-Tang Clan time.
Yes.
Like they're dealing with old
WT
dirty bastard
time.
Or something.
Uh-huh.
Then that's it. They take the nuttiest, most drugged up rap star who's the most irresponsible.
That's the standard.
And that's the standard.
Yeah.
Because what they do is they go, we need 3 hours advance time because we got to sober the guy up. We got to find him. We got to get the hookers away from him.
We got to get the poop off his clothes.
We got to wipe the fecal matter from his forehead and all that. But it's like if you're a normal, sane human being who's not strung out on anything and somebody says be somewhere at 5, you're quite capable of getting yourself there at 5 if it's a gig.
What I'm proud of is that hip-hop has replaced rock and roll as the druggy standard, you know, of the entertainment business. It used to be, you know, the rockers. Now it's the Wu-Tang Clan. And that makes my people proud. I'm happy to say that, you know. We're slowly taking over. First hip-hop and sports and salty snacks, but we're getting there. We're coming up.
Yeah,
we're coming up.
Like the rapper snacks.
The rapper snacks. There is a rapper snack. Do you know that there's
a
rapper snack?
There are.
What's it called? Rapper snacks.
It's like Rip Raps or something. It's got like little pictures of hip hoppers on it, and they're like little crunchy, cheesy, Odie wheat
that
things.
That could be the end of hip hop.
Oh God, there will be no end. Hip hop will just there'll be like a hip hop ride at Disneyland soon. You know, you'll get in, and you know someone will smack you and go, "Bitch, better have my money," and it'll be like, "Oh, it's so much fun and crazy with the hip hop." You know, it's only a matter of time.
Hip Epcot pop world. Ryan?
Hi.
You're 25?
Yeah.
What's up?
I recently just got in a relationship. It's only been about 3 months, and we began to get intimate, and the oral is just nowhere near what I would want it to be.
Get rid of him!
What's he doing? You got to dump him, I guess.
Yeah, thank you, Drew. That's what I said.
Well, what's he doing wrong?
Bites and sucks hard.
Hey, you tell him to cool it?
I try to, and he goes, well, you know, this is how, you know, he thinks he does it right.
He's watching the porns, right?
I guess.
A lot of guys, though, you know, they were with another girl who liked it that way or didn't complain.
Right.
And then they didn't figure
it out. That is a confusing thing for,
like it.
But that's a confusing thing for men because women are so
really
vastly
different. All guys are the same and all girls are different.
Thank you.
Right.
You're writing a book, right? About
I am. Well, I'm writing a book. It's not so much about. It's not a how-to. It's not. There's no diagrams or anything like that. But it is more about like women specifically. The book is more about like women speaking up for themselves and kind of like you know.
But in a realistic way, finally, please.
Yeah, it's really. I mean,
because we've never had a woman actually confirm it so categorically agree with us on this thing about how different women are.
Oh yeah, women are completely different sexually, and that's the problem. Is that every guy is pretty much the same.
Exactly.
The same elbow action, it all comes together. And for 50 girls, it's 50 different ways. And I suggest to you that you just don't say it during sex because guys don't like to be shamed when they're naked.
Same elbow action all comes together. Got that?
After that, I don't even want to even go there.
You know what? You need to talk to him like over breakfast.
Yeah. Yes.
And you need to just be sweet as you can and be like, baby, I love it that you do that. Let me tell you, it would rock if it didn't suck so much. And then just tell him like, you know, it's just,
this
I'm sure it worked
works.
On the last girl, but it doesn't
this
work
is what
on
works
me.
Works for me, exactly. And be very, very clear. Guys are very lame.
Guys are lame. And guys want to be good. Like, I'll tell you that the one motivating factor that all
they
guys have in common is they don't want
to
suck in bed. They want
to
be good.
Yeah.
They do. And they want to be able, I mean, when they strut around, they want to be able to be strutting for a reason. So say, you know, if like a guy knows you're faking it, he just, it's like, you know, it sucks. He wants to know he got it right. So just...
Yeah, well, when I start moaning, he goes faster, and that's not what I want him to do. I want him to keep doing exactly what he's doing.
Uh-huh. You need to sit down and go, okay, I don't like it when you do that. I like it when you do this. When I moan, it means this. I will, like, and then say, is it okay if I tell you? Go to the left,
all
go to the right.
Why is it troublesome for a woman to be able to do that?
Because we're all uncomfortable with our sexuality.
No. It, like, spoils it.
He's going to, like, flip out and just, like...
No, he won't flip. He aims to please, Ryan, But think about why would that be uncomfortable? What is it? Spoilsome?
Well, I think
fantasy
there's like some kind of like porn thing where we think it's all moaning and groaning and like you know excellent all the time, and people don't want to hear conversations.
But guys, if you wanted to like publish instructions, guys would be like, okay, fine.
Seriously,
hand it over.
They would love it. It would be like
right. But for a girl, it's like no, the fact that I have to tell you that ruins it. Yeah. Spoils it. Yeah. Why?
I don't know why. I don't. I mean,
you put that in your book.
I'm going to research
that.
Think
about that.
I mean, I think there is a thing where it doesn't feel passionate. Women like to be consumed by passion. Freaking,
right.
You know, stupid romance novels
and
everything.
I'm getting a little bit of a chill. It scares me. She knows so much.
Well, I'm a chick.
Too much.
But I just really, like, I would suggest that you talk to him when, like, there's nothing sexual around. Like, 8 in the morning when you're drinking coffee. And just say...
He will freak out if you tell him in the middle of the act.
If you tell him in the act, prepare to never have him go down there again.
Yeah, he will freak out then. But at breakfast, it's the good times.
And just...
Okay.
And I'm telling you, he wants to make it good. And guys, you know, he'll get all puffed up and he'll strut around.
Yeah.
With his butt shaking.
Also, when a woman makes a comment or two, in her mind, she's been telling him over and over again.
Yes.
When the reality is she may have made half a comment 3 months ago.
And he never heard it.
And he never heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Is also your ears close when you go down on a woman?
Well,
for protection, like when sharks have that membrane that go over their eyes.
You pull on the snorkel and the mask and the little thing to keep your hair from getting wet.
That's true. Yeah, between the thighs and the membrane that goes over the ears, hearing's not good. Ryan.
Well, it's something you have a third eyelid too, which comes across.
All of a sudden, we're Buddhist. What was that? No, that's Hindu. I got the religion wrong.
Ray.
Hey, Adam, Drew, what's going on? Been listening for like 7 years. Adam?
Great.
You are a comic genius.
Thank you, Ray.
Drew, you're a passionate man.
True. What's up?
Aisha, I went to high school with you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's your name?
My real name is Rayhan.
Rayhan, what's up?
You know Rayhan?
I do know Rayhan.
Was he still smoking a lot of pot back in high school, too?
Everybody was smoking a lot of pot.
How dare you, yes. Anyway.
Rayhan, where are you?
I'm in San Francisco.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm still in the city.
You're gay.
You know, I was at high school, and they were like, please, say you're fat. Say you're gay.
Oh, then when's your drops.
Yes, that's so funny.
Only Anderson can do
that. Well, good to hear from you, Rayhan.
Yeah, good to hear you. I have a little quick question. I got one for Drew afterwards, too. First of all, what's it like on the set of Friends?
Oh, is that for Drew or for me? Is that for me?
Awesome.
It's awesome. It's the biggest show in the whole freaking world, and it looks like it. And everybody there is super nice and happy because they're on the biggest show in the whole world.
Yeah.
And they were all very cool to me, and that made it great because I was pretty spooked by going on the biggest freaking show in the whole world.
Yeah,
it was good.
Were you freaking out beforehand or what?
Oh, I was... Yeah, I was terrified. Absolutely. I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm woman enough to say that I was scared.
Well, that's actually, hold on a second, Rayhan, because that is a good question. Where people treated you right, people were nice,
people were wonderful.
Was anyone different than what you expected?
If they were, they were just all, I swear to you, this is not a snow job. They were nicer than I thought they would be. They all are just so, like, down. I mean, these are like, you know, 6 of the biggest stars on television, and they obviously are all, you know, doing quite well, and they were incredibly down to earth, incredibly cool, hilarious, just very laid back and joking around, and it's great because you go in there and you're like, you know, holy Billy, I'm about to screw this show up royally, and they were great.
Well, that's disappointing.
I know you wanted a story about somebody taking a dump in the middle of the coffee house, but it's not gonna happen.
All right, Ray, what's your question for Drew?
I'm currently in a PA program over at Stanford, and I wanted to know whether I could shadow you for a day.
You know what?
I know you got the hernia operation coming up in a day.
Thank you, yes. That's going to be delightful.
All right.
Are you coming down to Los Angeles?
Well, no, I'll make the special trip. I mean, I'll take
Because what you, I tell you, we could use a PA is on the substance unit. And yeah. You wouldn't
well,
be able
I'm,
to...
I'm still in school, so I don't graduate till January.
Well, but still, we need manpower. and it'd be interesting for you. You would learn a ton.
Well, so, if I call the hospital, could you get me going?
Well, I might be able to. So we'll put you on hold, and Brian take your phone number.
Oh,
so,
you're
so.
Such.
But,
nice.
Rayhan was a straight-up guy back then, no knowing what the last
thing
was.
Are you interested in psychiatry and addiction medicine, anything like that?
Yeah, well, I'm certainly interested in being exposed to it.
Yeah, it's important to really have a thorough understanding
absolutely.
Of it, no matter what
Let's
you
see.
Do.
Well, my program is concentrating on primary care, so
fantastic.
You know, we'll get a bunch of addicts.
I suggest you spend a month with us, frankly, just to get... Like do a rotation with us.
Ooh,
but anyway, we'll work something out.
My character.
We'll figure something out.
I will vouch for Rayhan's character.
Yeah.
All right.
When he shivs one of the inmates,
Brian.
Though, I can't be responsible
Brian.
For that.
Not inmates. Inmates. For Christ's sake. What are you talking about?
It's very insulting.
I have no medical experience.
I loved her until about 3 seconds ago. Brian.
He's not. Drew, he's not wearing
his
headphones.
Have his headset on.
Yeah, but don't they run the show in there?
They don't run the show in there.
Oh, he's saying, "Oh, Brian, you mean Brian?"
You can't watch TV if you run the show.
Oh,
you're
watching TV. Okay, get his phone number and email. Rayhan.
Rayhan's a great guy. Yeah.
All right.
He could party.
Huh? Oh, he's gonna be out detailing.
You have to be a patient.
All right. Rachel.
Yes.
You're 28.
Yes.
What's up?
I have been married for 8 years, and we actually have 3 kids together. And I am very unhappy.
Why?
In my marriage.
Why?
And, he kind of is abusive.
What kind of abuse?
Sexually. I've asked him repeatedly not to do, I'm a deep sleeper, and he will come in and, you know, try to arouse me while I'm sleeping, and I'm very uncomfortable with that.
What happened?
You were abused?
Somebody came in your bedroom when you were a girl?
Not that I know of. I don't know why, you know, I feel this way, but I just feel very uncomfortable with him, maybe because he's not getting my consent, or...
But you never got raped or abused, sexually abused?
Not that I know of.
No rape?
Mm-mm.
Okay, and is it? I'm not sure. I'm not clear on this. Is it that he doesn't approach you during other hours of the day?
No, he does, and that's fine. It's just, you know, I don't know if he's afraid that I'll say no.
Hold on.
I have
hold
a question,
on.
Actually. Yeah. Were your parents married your whole childhood?
Yes.
Hmm. And was your father a very strong personality in your life, or a weak one?
Yes.
Very strong in your life.
Was he abusive?
He was abusive, yeah. Physically and emotionally, yeah. Not sexually.
Yeah. Well, that's enough.
A lot of times, like, I think women who have men who dominate their lives when they're young,
yes.
Maybe not even physically, and maybe not even abusively, but men who dominate, they don't like to be dominated,
yes.
When they, like, mm-hmm. Don't want to be dominated anymore.
Sure.
And a guy who comes in and doesn't respect the fact that you're sleeping and wants you to get up and have sex with him, he's exhibiting dominant behavior, which is upsetting.
But how often are you guys actually having sex?
Well, now it's not, you know, that often, because...
How often?
Now?
Yeah.
Probably once a month.
How long has that been going on for?
A couple years. We were separated for a year.
So it's been 3 years of trouble?
Our whole marriage has been kind of...
Well, does he know how you feel about this?
Yes.
He does.
There's no way this is all just about that. No way, Rachel. Come on.
What do you mean?
There's something very disturbed in this relationship. I mean, you've been married and never had any happiness.
Well, I mean, we've been happy. I mean, I love him as a friend. You know, I mean, he's...
Hold on a second,
Rachel. Wait, hold on.
All right, here's what I think's going on so far. She is doesn't sound attracted to the guy.
It comes from an abusive history.
Okay, not so attracted to the guy. It's basically sort of shut down physically. He comes in, tries to break off a little piece. The only time he thinks he can actually do it is when she's
confused
and disoriented, yeah. Passed out, maybe dreaming of Fabio. And she takes that as abusive.
Yeah, that's her perception. But
yes.
But I'm telling you, there's a lot more going on here.
Well, that's why I say she takes that as abusive. That means that is her perception, yeah. I don't think the abuse is going on.
Rachel.
But I want to know, I mean, she just said he's generally abusive. I want to know what else he's doing that makes him abusive. What else does he do?
Well, it's not what he's doing. It's the fact that I've repeatedly told him, I really don't like you to do this.
You said he's abusive. You said he's abusive generally. Where else is he abusive?
No, I think I said kind of abusive.
All right, where else is he kind of abusive?
Just in that whole, if I, you know, ask him something that, you know, makes me uncomfortable, or, you know, things that maybe would remind me of my childhood as far as my dad being, you know, angry or whatever.
Where's my bourbon?
Have you ever been treated for this, Rachel?
I'm actually seeing a psychiatrist right now.
Have you been hospitalized?
No. I am on Paxil as well, too.
Well, that'll shut you down sexually, too, right?
Yeah, it does a little bit, yeah.
Well, it does a lot. It does a lot. So you have to talk to the psychiatrist about that. But what is your diagnosis exactly? Does it give you a diagnosis?
Depression kind of increased by marital unhappiness.
Well, I think we all sort of feel like you're introducing abuse into a relationship that's probably not abusive. It's just your father's relationship was abusive. And so you're finding similarities in this one when there's really not that much to find.
Okay.
So, now if you're not attracted to him, and you want out of the relationship.
The fact that she's not attracted to him.
Probably a good sign.
Yeah, that's why we know he's not abusive.
Right. That's a good
You'd
point.
You'd be attractive to an abusive guy. That's you, your attraction
come back? I mean...
Do you have any kids?
Three.
Yes, I have three kids.
You just got to get in couples therapy. You got to stay in individual therapy.
You
got to work on this for
the.
You
got
to work on it for the kids. You got to stay committed.
If the biggest problem you have is that the guy tries to wake you up to have sex in the middle of the night, then you just need to go into couples therapy and work out your problems, because obviously you're not connected in other ways. And the here's how guys try to get connected. They try to have sex. Here's how women try to get connected. They try to talk. So. You're not talking to the guy, and he figures a way to get connected to you is to have
book?
Sex.
You put this in your book?
Yes,
please?
I will.
Please?
And he's coming to you and trying to have sex with you because he feels like this is a way.
Because we say this all the time.
Like,
we never hear this from a woman, ever.
To get connected to you, and you're rebuffing him, and that is making him feel
abandoned.
Insecure and
it's
abandoned.
It's awful
and feeling. Then when you go to him and you want to connect with him on any kind of other level, like we like to connect with guys with just hugging and cuddling and talking, he doesn't want to connect with you in that way. And that's why your marriage is jacked up. So you just need to go into counseling.
All right. That's a good enough time to take a break.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll be right back with the insightful Aisha Tyler, who now has enough material for two volumes of books after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Aisha Tyler's our guest tonight. You knew her from Talk Soup and Third Wheel. Now you know her from Friends and whatever they're... hell else she's doing.
Whatever
writing
the hell
a book,
I'm up to.
Movies, everything.
Causing trouble.
Well, she's talent.
Hey, that's what they call me.
Yeah, she only
that's
had
why I
feet.
Got the big muffin plate.
Yeah.
The what?
She's got a huge muffin.
You know, whenever you go somewhere where you're like
muffin
the
basket.
The, yeah, when you're the guest, they give you like a big plate of crap muffins, you know? Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, you get 26 crappy muffins when you take three good ones. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even one. Just one good muffin instead
just
of like
a
pile of crap.
Them, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to give a muffin symposium
or
one
basket
of these days.
Symposium too.
Yeah.
I got one great basket, and that was from Whoopi Goldberg. Remember that?
Oh yeah, she's a good gift giver.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what was that? Hollywood Squares.
Squares. Yeah. Hollywood Squares gives. Oh, Hollywood Squares is the like the money
but
basket.
But that's Whoopi's. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, you go on that show, you get the hookup.
Yeah.
I still wear this tie that she gave us.
Really?
I got like a robe and a CD player.
CD player and a tie.
Yeah,
it's like
awesome.
$80 silk tie.
Yeah. She's a class act.
Yeah. Dynamite lady. Dynamite. Proud, too. Proud. Dynamite. Samantha? Not funny, but dynamite lady.
She was funny.
Yeah. She's one of these people who was like, and a lot of comedians actually do this. They're like, yeah, I was really funny 15 years ago, so screw it. I don't. Have to be
well,
funny
you know
anymore.
I have a theory about this.
And I'm fine with that concept,
if
but
they would admit
stop
it.
Doing stand-up.
I have a theory that you're funny when you're suffering, and then when you get very wealthy and you get driven around and your biggest crisis is whether there's enough Diet Coke
you're
in the fridge, you stop
anymore.
Being funny.
She's not angry.
Yeah, and you know, all of comedy's relatability and the relatability of suffering. And, you know, when you're like, oh, my God, so my Benz ran out of gas. You know, it's not funny anymore.
Right.
You know who's still funny, in my opinion? And I'm sure you'll argue this with me. I think Eddie Murphy's hilarious.
Yeah, well, I've
in certain
I'm, trying,
context,
to, I'm trying to think.
Bowfinger was hilarious.
It's definitely a bona fide talent.
Yes, that guy.
But there's a lot of guys, and I think I'm going to throw Eddie Murphy into this category, which are extremely gifted. I don't think anyone would argue with that. Mm-hmm. You know, your Robin Williams and your Eddie Murphy mm-hmm. types. But yet, they still do a lot of... They could pass on every second or third script that comes their way.
Work,
and
yeah.
they don't. And I don't understand...
You know why?
Why you want to leave that legacy?
They can. They get paid for it anyway.
Right.
And everyone forgets they did it, and mm-hmm. they remember the good stuff.
And they have the kind of, they're such a juggernaut that they could survive eight or
yeah.
nine bad movies.
Right.
And
so why don't they just collect the money, and on they go.
And you know,
I don't know.
I don't know if Whoopi Goldberg was an abuse survivor, but she was a junkie. I find her incredible. She was a heroin addict, and she had her kid when she was like 12.
Was she a heroin addict, really?
Yes.
Didn't
and then she kicked it cold turkey.
Drew doesn't
She's
believe it.
She's a monster.
Drew doesn't
She's incredible.
Anyone,
without recovery.
No one can put a rake down unless Drew takes it from them. That's
the way
motto.
I understand the story. And she just, you know, just raw up from the streets, like pure
will. I get the up from the street stuff, but heroin addiction is not something to get better without treatment. It's like, say, you overcame
maybe
some
she
weird
just
cancer.
Had other addiction, crazy behaviors that took over for them.
Well, we'll
maybe
never
she, maybe she had methadone still. That'd be my theory.
That would explain her sense of humor. But let me say this.
No, that would be it. She'd be a methadone patient.
That'd be like 20, 30 years of methadone?
You stay your whole life.
That's crazy.
Once you do it, you do your whole life. There are some people out there that are very powerful on methadone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like who?
Not going to tell you.
Come on, buddy.
No way.
Got even one? No. Mm-mm. I can't bring anybody up. I need a job.
Drew's talking about himself. We just lost this caller, so we'll go on to the next one. Well, I got bored of Drew's methadone ramblings. Samantha?
Yes?
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
I was just curious if you can only contract chlamydia through sexual intercourse with somebody that's infected with it, or if there's other ways that you can get it.
You can get it in your eyes, and you can get it in your throat.
Oof.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the way I like to give it, the throat.
Why?
Yeah, that's my...
Okay, your pharynx.
Yeah.
I've been in a relationship for over 4 years now, and we're married now. And I was tested for STDs in 99, and they tested me for chlamydia then because I was pregnant. And they said that I didn't have it. And then they tested me again in 2000 after I had my son because I got really sick. And they said that I didn't have it. Either, and then they just tested me about a week ago because I wanted to get an IUD, and they called me back the very same day and said that I have it.
How did you do the test? With urine?
What?
How was the test done?
With my pap.
They did a culture or a swab.
Yeah, they did a culture.
So, and you haven't been unfaithful to your husband?
No, I have not been unfaithful at all.
What about your husband?
Well, I asked him, I confronted him about it, and he said that he hasn't, and he actually told me, and I thought this was really weird, he told me that when he was in high school, he was dating a girl for like 2 years, and that she went and had a yearly pap done or whatever, and she got tested, and that it came back that she had the same thing, that she had chlamydia also, and she came to him all pissed off, thinking that he had cheated on her just like I did, and... He said that he's been tested for it and that he doesn't have it, so I don't understand how I got it.
Well, when did he get tested for it?
Where?
When?
When?
He told me like 2 months before we got together he had been tested. He hasn't been tested since then that I know of.
Oh, well, so it's been 4 years, right?
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second.
Can a guy just be walking around with chlamydia for 4 years?
Yeah, but she would have had it the whole time, too. He couldn't keep it to himself.
Really, it's not one of those things that you can be carrying and then not give somebody else for that long.
If you're carrying it, you give it.
So. Yeah, it's like a middle-aged Jewish broad with a juicy secret. Cannot just be kept to herself. She's got to spread it around.
My kids have that gene, too.
Oh, Lordy. Well. So what's...
Okay, let's do some math here.
But I tell you what, I personally, my experience clinically with those chlamydia tests is that they're not that accurate.
Which is either a false positive or two false negatives?
False positives. More like a false positive. And but equally as likely, people cheat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. Mm. So I'm always in a conundrum when I get this kind of situation. This is not an uncommon situation.
I mean, for your husband to say, I got tested. I mean, it's been four years.
Here's how I'd approach this. Both get treated.
Yep.
Either way, both get treated. Mm-hmm. Let's evaluate this relationship. Have there been problems? Is something going on? Do you have reason to believe? Let's confront him. Let's talk about it. Do we have reason to believe there's a problem? And if there's really no problem in this relationship, let's assume it was a false positive. But keep your eyes open.
He's going to have it too then.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to assume that this is a true positive, yeah, you have to treat her.
Would he have it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's going to have it if she has it.
Isn't there something with guys just walking around carrying chlamydia and being asymptomatic a lot of time?
Oh, yes, but they'll give it every time.
So he has to be treated. He would just be carrying around like a big old stealth bomb.
Yes.
Pocket full of chlamydia.
So he has to have it if she has it. I'm trying to get some clarity here.
I believe that's not even 100% either, but he has to be treated just on the assumption that he could be carrying it.
All right. Samantha.
Yes.
Here's the thing. This whole chlamydia thing is not going to tell you whether he's cheating or not.
Right. Not with 100% clarity.
It's a strike, and it could be one of the tiles in the mosaic of him cheating. So if there's a bunch of other things, like you find a phone number or you check his emails.
Or you're fighting or the relationship isn't going well.
Right. This could be one more thing that you throw on the cheating scale.
And by the way, guys that cheat tend to go the other way. They tend to be buying you flowers and tend to be compensating for their guilt. So if you notice some of that kind of behavior, kind of keep your
That's
eyes
open. That's my move.
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I haven't noticed any of those behaviors.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then forget it.
Remember, the accuracy of a test is dependent on the probability of it being positive.
Going?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Accuracy is increased when there's higher probability of a true positive. Makes sense, right?
So what's that mean?
Well, this is not a situation where you expect a positive result. It doesn't fit, as you say, the mosaic.
I see. So what you're saying is that
so
she got
a positive. So the accuracy
is
down. The accuracy is down here.
All right. That made no sense either one of
Chlamydia
us.
Chlamydia makes you go blind, so go get treated.
If it's in your eye, yes.
Jamie?
Well,
That's all I know about it.
So does a stick, if you think about it.
If it's in your eye.
That's right, Drew. Jamie?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I have my breast, or 38D.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a breast reduction, but I wanted to know what kind I should get.
What kind?
How many are there?
Well, there are different kinds, aren't there?
Well, I know the inverted T is the one I'm familiar with, yeah.
Do you know the procedure?
How big are you? Hold on, let's get some
double
stats.
D, she said.
No, I want her size, her dimensions.
How tall are you?
Yeah.
I'm short.
Short?
Yeah.
What height?
5'2".
What's your weight?
155.
Let me do some radio math here. 5'2", 155.
There's just the one.
I get 5 foot and 15/16 and 168. Okay,
right,
so
you're asking.
You're I did the radio math on her height and weight.
People distort their presentation.
So Jamie. Mm-hmm. You definitely got some big cans on you, but you could probably shed 30 pounds too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's the first move.
Yeah, lose the weight before you go to the
Because the boobs may go, or at least you'll know where they are when you've gotten down to your ideal weight and before you go under the knife, especially at 17.
And there really are issues of health here above and beyond aesthetics. So take care of that first.
You could lose a whole cup size if you lost some weight.
Okay. Yeah, yeah maybe too. And,
is it a whole cup size to go from double D to D?
Are you a double D or just a D?
Just a D. Hmm.
You could go to a C. That's a nice, healthy size.
Yeah. If you shed that extra cup, give it to me. I'm collecting.
Okay.
I give them out to the needy, the guys who don't have cups. But here's the thing. At 17, you should look at getting the weight down. Then when you're 18, if and when the weight comes down, you'll know where you're at.
Right.
You know how I know I'm always right when I do my radio math?
Yes.
Other than who would say, you know, everyone's going to shave 10, 15 pounds if you're talking on the radio. No one's in the room. Notice how no one ever argues with me?
No. Well, sometimes, but rarely. Rarely.
I would almost say never.
Surprisingly few.
Yeah, like if I called and said to somebody, I'm 6'2", I'm 193. That is my size. If I said that and they said, all right, 5'11", 205. I'd say, no, that's not my size. But we never do get that, do we?
No.
No. No, that means they're lying. That's fine. But look, if you're close to 5 foot and you're close to 170 and you want to get a breast reduction, let's drop a couple pounds.
Breast reductions are
hard.
See
what happens.
Yeah, it's a real surgery.
And the breast is one of the first things that go when you lose weight. That and the mind. The mind goes, I've noticed. Thin women are stupid, Drew, let's face it. Not Aisha.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I take pills for that.
Kate?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
I've been with my, fiancé for over a year now. And in the beginning, we used condoms, but then I got on the pill. And in the beginning, when he would come, you know, inside of me in the condom, everything was fine. But then I got on the pill, and for some reason, because of... I'd been on that type of pill before, but the... whatever, it was a different hormonal reaction or something, and I had a lot of yeast infections, so I don't know if that
okay.
has anything to do with it.
Right.
But, so I started, when he would come inside of me, it would burn really bad.
That's because of the vaginitis you had, right?
Right, but now everything's cleared up. I got on a different pill, and I haven't had a yeast infection.
Maybe it's not completely cleared up, and maybe those weren't just yeast infections. Maybe there was some other kind of vaginitis you were having that's not completely cleared yet.
It could go on. It's been like a year since that happened.
Vaginitis can go on for quite some time. It's possible.
I mean, it's for like 18 months.
Yeah, it sounds like you have some sort of inflammation mm-hmm. in there. That's why it's irritated when you're exposed to the semen.
Well, your hypothesis is there's something up with the semen, Kate?
Well, I don't know, because when we have sex normally, it doesn't hurt. you know?
But what do you mean?
It's only when he comes inside of me.
Yeah.
That's not normal sex?
Well, what she means is during the intercourse, there's no pain, but then when the semen is introduced, yeah. there's pain. So what about that, Drew?
Like if he pulls out or something, it's fine.
There is such a thing as allergy to semen, but it's pretty rare. And vaginitis is so common, you might want to first try to be sure that that's cleared up. Some, you know, there are antibacterial creams you can use that are not just the yeast cream. The yeast creams wouldn't cover that. And just make sure.
It's like a chronic yeast infection if you had it over and over.
And that's
the
other thing. Chronic,
really
maybe she has more of a yeast infection there. Maybe she's not, you know, overtly active with big discharge, but she may have some inflammation that she's not aware of.
What is the salt content of semen?
Well, let me see, Adam. Let me consult my handbook on semen.
I'd like to
components.
Know.
Yeah.
How many microns
sodium
of salt?
Chloride. So three millimoles. And 14 millimoles of chlorine. There you
per,
go.
Per hamper or per belly
per sock,
full?
Belly full.
Per sock?
Or sock. Same. Look, same equivalent. Belly. Belly sock.
Two bellies equal a sock. 32 bellies per socks per hamper. I believe how it goes.
Thank you. Well, it's right here. It's right here.
All right. Here's my question. There's stuff in your body. It's got salt, you know, like when you sweat.
Yeah,
it's
about the same as fluid, body fluid.
So if you have a cut, plasma. For instance, you have a cut and you get a drop of sweat in it, it will sting, I guess, because of the salt.
That is a higher sodium chloride content, the sweat.
Okay, but if there is, I mean, she's saying, well, why don't I feel it during intercourse? Well, it's like getting a drop of something.
Or something, the pH or the salt content, something's irritating.
Yeah, but there needs to be, I mean, back to my sweat analogy, you need to have the little cut in order to get the sting, otherwise the sweat is not going to hurt you.
Yes.
So what you're saying is it's probably not evil.
Evil
semen. It's that there's something in there it's making contact with that's not
that's
right.
Right. That's right.
All right. That's right. It's always the vag's
evil
fault.
Evil semen.
Matt?
Evil seed. He was trying to spit.
Demon seed.
Matt, you're 17. We're going to tease your call. You want to know how to deal with traumatized girlfriend on heroin?
She's not on it anymore, but she was on it when she was like 12.
Right. Right. She was raped and abused as a 12-year-old?
I'm not sure she was raped, but I know she was sexually abused.
All right, that's
pretty much the same.
All right, good enough. Everyone's got to argue. I'm just trying to get a little tease in. Aisha Tyler is our guest tonight. We'll take a quick break, and we'll get back with the feel-good story of the year. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Aisha Tyler is our guest tonight.
Yep.
She is currently on Friends doing a guest arc, 4 episodes, huge exposure. That's real nice.
No complaints. I got no complaints. It's awesome.
Her third one's airing tomorrow night, NBC, Thursday night, 8 o'clock. And the show's going for another year.
It's coming back in the fall. Yeah, one more year.
Yeah, why not?
Are you going to be recurring?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not dead. I'm not dead at the end of the season. So you know, they didn't, you know, give me an inoperable brain tumor, push me down an elevator shaft or anything. So, I'm hoping so. I got my fingers crossed. You know, it's been really cool. And if it's just this 4, that would be great too. But we'll see.
Either way, it's good. Looks good on the reel.
It does. It is.
Say.
It's good for the reel.
Matt.
Yep.
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up? Oh, yeah, we talked to you. We did a little tease. You have a girlfriend. Now, how old is she?
She's 15.
She's 15. And she was traumatized, abused when she was younger.
Yeah. My whole thing is that Dr. Drew keeps giving advice to people that have been traumatized, like, directly. And I'm in a relationship with her, and, you know, she was date raped a little over a year ago. And then, like, her father abused her, and... I think she was like a heroin addict at like 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so has she gotten any help?
I know she's on meds for borderline personality disorder. I think it's connected though.
It's all connected. It's all connected.
Well, Matt's got his work cut out for him, and it's 17, and she's 15.
Right.
I don't want to say dump her or walk away, but on the other hand, this is more than Drew can help you with over the air.
Well, here's the deal. You can't help her in any way other than to be available and to keep a very highly structured relationship with her. her borderline disorder and her addiction, you can't do anything about. You can take care of yourself, and that tends to help her disorder. So if you go to Al-Anon or you go to therapy, that will help you grow in a way that will kind of pull her along and keep you out of her chaos.
Al-Anon at 17 for a 15-year-old girl?
Really? Al-Anon. Yeah. I mean, if he wants advice for what he should be doing. This is why we don't give this kind of advice very often, because no one does it. But that's what you'd have to do. In terms of you meddling in her recovery and in her treatment for a very complicated disorder, don't. Just make sure she takes her meds and make sure she goes to meetings. Oh, don't forget the meeting thing. Just make sure you go to meetings. Make sure she goes to her appointments. And that's it. That's all you can do. And don't do anything.
Yeah, I didn't want to meddle so much as see what was available in a way.
For you. For you.
No, for her, I think he wanted.
For both.
Well, you know, she's in treatment.
I don't know. She's taking meds
for her borderline disorder, and she's hopefully in a recovery program sometime.
Well, but we don't know that.
Is she going to meetings?
No, she's not.
Well, it's going to be pretty crazy until she gets into...
So what meeting does she need to go to?
She's a narcotic addict. She needs to go to NA.
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 You got that?
Yeah, got it.
And then you don't go with her. You go to one of the codependency. You go on
You wait out in the car and masturbate.
Unless you're an addict yourself, are you?
No, I'm not.
All right, you go to the codependency meetings while she goes.
Does somebody with a borderline personality disorder in therapy?
Well, she's in treatment.
That's not the same thing.
And be prepared for her to turn on the nice guy. By the way,
yeah,
she's not going to put up with Matt too long either.
Yeah, she'll be doing stuff that will make you feel pretty bad.
Yeah,
she's going to want you to be as crazy as she is.
Yeah, you're going to get into these things where you're going, I've done everything for her. I extended my hand to her. Everyone else abused her, and now she's dumping me.
Yeah, now she goes to this abusive guy. She hates him. He's such an a-hole to her.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
And you know, and then it becomes he's putting her under some spell, and it's all this nonsense.
All right, so Matt. You sure you don't want to try something like, I don't know, reconstructing the space shuttle that recently crashed or something a little
something
less challenging?
Yeah, something you could actually accomplish.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. These guys have zero idea what they're getting into. No. And, you know, I feel bad saying run. No. But the reality is...
It's not like they're married and they have kids.
Right. You do not have any kids.
Jesus.
Don't have any kids. Don't talk about it. Don't get engaged to be engaged or any of that nonsense. Jason, we haven't heard that retarded line
in a
long time. Go ahead, Jason. You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm having problems with my girlfriend. She's more of just trying to push me into getting married.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
She's 19.
All right.
What kind of marriage would that be if you're not ready to get married?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just like I feel like, you know, that I'm not ready.
All right, and how long have you guys been together?
A year.
Here's another male-female thing. Men, women, it's the person they're with when they want to get married. For men, it's the time in their life. Am I ready to get married?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they could pass up some people that regret the rest of their life, but still know they could not have gotten married then.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't ready.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, you shouldn't get married.
Absolutely not.
You just shouldn't get married. If you're not ready to get married, you shouldn't get married. And I don't know why she thinks she's ready to get married. 19, she's a baby.
Well,
what's the point?
Let's do a little role playing here, Jason.
Okay.
This will bear fruit.
You play yourself.
Oh my God!
Right?
Humanity.
Aisha is going to play your 19-year-old girlfriend who wants to get married. All right.
All right.
Okay. Now you stand your ground as best you can. All right.
All right.
We'll do it over the phone. I'll play the role of the phone ringing mechanism. Bring.
Hello.
Hey. Have you decided, are you ready to get married now?
No, not really. I mean...
Well, why not? Don't you love me?
No, it's more just like I need, like, you know, time to evaluate myself.
But, I mean, if you love me, you wouldn't need time. You'd know you love me. Don't you love me?
I do, but, you know, you gotta wait until I...
Then why do you want to get married? You don't love me, do you?
No, I do.
I'm not having sex with you ever again unless you marry me. I'm
no,
serious. Are you cheating on me?
No.
You... I could curse. I can't curse on the air.
No, okay.
I'm leaving you then. If you're not going to marry me, I'm leaving you.
No, see, the thing is that if you love me, you should stay with me until I'm ready.
Well, I do love you, and that's why I want to get married. Well,
then you should be able to wait.
I'm pregnant.
No, you're not.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
Click.
All right, well, Jason, that didn't go well. Your girlfriend's a bitch.
And she's crazy, too.
Yeah, but she's hot.
Yeah. Yeah, but she's hot. So,
Okay.
You shouldn't get married.
That wasn't, you know, the part where Jason,
turned
the corner when
nice
he said,
back.
Hey, if you loved me,
that
you'd
was
wait,
good. That was good.
You'd wait
but
it out.
But that lasts about 3 seconds with
it. Yeah, I tried it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, don't get married.
Here's the thing, Jason. If you're 36 and you guys have been together for 9 years, you really don't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
When you're 19, what do you do for a living?
I work at a hotel.
Okay, so you're not making money hand over fist, right? You're just stealing change from ashtrays while guys are in showers, right?
Struggling college student.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
and the magic time, by the way, is college. You go, we can't discuss it until I graduate college.
This isn't even realistic. It's not even a relationship.
That's the easy thing to say. I'm not marrying you until I get my degree, and that's
the
end of it.
What's wrong with having that some reciprocity in the relationship where he's sort of respected for his wishes as well?
Seriously.
And if they cannot find a compromise, then they break up.
What is the deal with these broads wanting to get married? Understand it. I don't know what it is.
It's a 19-year-old guys who work at a Holiday Inn, you know?
Like, why are you going to marry this guy who, like, you know, barely gets 20 out of the bank every week to buy some chicken fingers and you're trying to settle down? Give me a break.
What is that?
I can't explain it. It's a part of my gender that I do not understand.
But you've got that brain at least, so you can go talk to some of them, maybe get a communication.
I'll query and come back to you, but this whole, like, feminine urge to get married to guys who are knuckleheads and have nothing to offer, why don't you go out and start making some money, and then you be the catch. Why is it all about some dude?
I agree when Aisha said that wait till you've graduated with, by the way, your dual doctorate degree in astrophysics and the Asian economic market.
So is he 47?
Yeah, before you can even talk about getting married.
7 years of field research in Minsk.
Yeah, I've had friends who stayed in junior college for 17, 18 years. I mean, you can really drag this thing out if you need
to. That's a subpopulation that should not reproduce.
Yeah, my friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Marriage will not save you, ladies. Marriage will not save you, unless it's right and it's real. Just marrying some dude and having a baby is not going to save you. It's just going to make you poor, and then in a year you're going to call a show and get lit up on the air by Adam about what a knucklehead you are.
Oh, hopefully I won't be here.
Screwball.
Let's take ourselves a little break. Aisha Tyler here. We'll be right back. Talk to Aisha Tyler a little bit off the air about other things, but that's good. Delight to see you as usual.
Thank you for having me.
Come back anytime you like.
I know. I'll ask me back anytime. All right. It's a blast.
Let's see.
Look for Aisha on Friends tomorrow night or Thursday night, depending on when you hear this show. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I'm pregnant.
No, you're not.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
Click.
All right, well, Jason, that didn't go well. Your girlfriend's a bitch.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.